Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Tech Point Africa podcast. And who missed me?
Mew.
So existing listeners and new listeners, I'm Oluwani Femi Kolawole. It's been a while that I've been here and I'm happy to be back. You might not see the excitement on my face, but I'm very happy to be back. They can feel it in the studio.
It's electric.
Singles dream. Yeah, they can.
You don't want to hear my response.
And I appreciate those that checked on me while I was away. Just two people, but they are those. Plural is plural. Yes, they checked on me and they asked why I was not on the podcast. I took a much needed break and yes, I'm back and I'm happy to be back. And on that note, I think we should start today's conversation with... I want to be optimistic today. I don't want to share any bad news.
Okay.
So, I want to start with the fact that African governments are actually very concerned about their citizens. You get? Mm. I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm an optimist today. And they are looking for ways to make sure that their citizens are consuming the right content online. So, every other market day, you will see them telling big tech or social media companies that this is how we want you to run in our nation. We want our citizens to be safe and yada, yada, yada. Well, Kenya, it's as if they're trying to reach a truce with TikTok. Last week, it was like, oh, they want to ban TikTok. This week, we are coming to a consensus. Okay, so we want you to... Kenyan government is telling TikTok, wanted to come and open an office in Kenya and employ Kenyans to work in your offices. And then everything will be good with the world. Well, with Kenya. So on that note, we're hoping that the days of TikTok facing issues in Kenya are over, just like what we saw in Nigeria in 2021, I believe, when
it
banned Twitter for like 7 months, and the consensus was that you have to open a Twitter office.
Consensus? Oh, that's what they told us.
That's what they told us, that they are ready to abide by what the government is asking.
No, that was what the government said.
Okay. Twitter was silent.
Yes, Twitter did not say we are ready to abide.
Never ever confirmed or denied. Mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic today, so I want to believe that they actually had a conversation with Twitter, because that was what we were told when they said they were going to leave the ban. But yeah, I'm happy for Kenya.
I'm not
because
happy.
I don't know. It's the Kenya government that released this statement that President William Ruto. Yeah. Is in conversation with TikTok, so they are going to open an office. But I'm wishing them the best.
Well, it's the only reason why I think TikTok will actually go ahead with it is because I think a huge chunk of their users are in Kenya actually. Like
yes,
globally.
Yes.
So a huge chunk of their users.
Yes, according 54%
of whose users?
TikTok.
How many people are in Kenya?
Data does not lie.
I think that data is lying. I think it's just that a huge
number of
Kenyans...
I think you
should take
it up with Reuters Institute Digital News Report.
I think it's just that a huge number of Kenyans use TikTok. How many people use TikTok?
Okay. I think that makes sense. That makes more sense.
Kenya is... If you tell me, maybe Nigeria, Kenya has like less than, I think, 60 million people, if I'm not mistaken. So even if half of them...
Okay, so it's
probably the most prominent
social media
in
Kenya.
The country.
Yeah.
That makes
and
sense.
It's the government didn't um, they didn't they didn't go the Nigeria Twitter route, because someone brought the petition and reps in the house for some reason made very solid arguments against banning Twitter, banning TikTok. And then we don't know how it escalated to the president having a meeting with TikTok's founder, but content moderation, I think it's something that is a touchy subject.
Exactly. It's a touchy subject, because when you are saying you want to be the person that will, what's that word? Not manage, gatekeep something. Right, you should have an integrity to an extent that what you are gatekeeping, you will not hold it against you. You get for like maybe, I'm not saying the Kenya government is corrupt. I'm just saying if a corrupt government wants to say, I want to gatekeep what you are doing online, then you will question their own integrity. So that's the point that we are. So there's a very, very blurred line between gatekeeping and online freedom.
Yeah, there is. But for content moderation, it's I think where we can start, for example, is age-appropriate content. So you can limit it. That could be a start. Of course, the details are not clear, but I think that would be the best place to start. Yeah. Because you're not... But the problem now is, since the government is sort of initiating this conversation, at what point does political content moderation get in?
That's a conversation we would have another day. But it seems Somalia is not going the route of Kenya. They're actually planning to ban TikTok. In fact, it's not planning to ban. They've banned TikTok, Telegram, and the betting platform 1xBet. I hope they will get into conversations too.
1xBet. No, to them.
So,
no, there is
we cannot talk, but okay. It's okay.
That they banned.
I did not say anything. But for Somalia, the Somali government, I think they should probably go and listen to or read what all the Kenyan reps who defended TikTok said. Mm. One person wisely suggested that if you ban it, you ban VPN.
Banning anything at all makes people want to do it. That is just, it's like a natural human tendency.
People, when they banned Twitter, we found ways around.
Of course, we found
around it. Like that same day, I think a day or two before it, there were already tips. You could join VPN families and all of that.
Even government agencies were still on Twitter.
So if you ban it, are you going to fix VPN?
Yeah.
And something else that the reps mentioned is a lot of two very important points. One is that a lot of our youths or their youths get their information from TikTok. Mm. Second one is that it's creating jobs
for content creators.
Yeah, for a growing number of Kenyans. Young. Of course, maybe it's just, you may say it's only 1,000 people, but the ripple effects of 1,000 people losing their sources of income, it doesn't look like a lot until the person that used to bill you or that stopped billing you because they are now TikTok influencers. That's billing you again.
Valid point. And I think we should come back to Nigeria now. Like during the weekend.
Things occurred.
So yes, that's the word. Things occurred. And it came from a startup Bolu that has been in the under the microscope, or eyes have been on them for a few months now for some things that happened within them. That's Patricia Technologies. And they released a statement over the weekend that they launched the Patricia token, PTK. Yes. So I'll need Bolu to dump down what it means to launch a native token and give us like a rundown of what PTK is and the reaction it has drawn from audience.
Okay. Yeah, so like you said, Patricia dropped during the weekend. That's last week. I think that was last week, Friday. They told us that they are launching their own token, right? Called Patricia Token. Right. It's a stable coin, right? And they said the moniker is PTK. They also said all outstanding balances will be converted to that token. And to understand what they mean by that, you need to also go back again to understand that a few months ago they reported that they got hacked, right? The amount was allegedly around $2 million. Patricia told us that no customer funds were affected, but now that they are launching PTK, they are telling us that okay, those balances that you've not been able to withdraw, we are going to convert them to PTK.
I think you should also mention that those balances are actually in BTC or Naira.
They were in BTC or Naira, and now Patricia is saying, okay, we'll give it back to you, or you will be seeing them as PTK. So before we go into why people had issues with that and why there were a lot of, you know, why many people were not happy with it, maybe some people don't really understand what the whole launching native tokens mean and all that. But so in the crypto space, you can make your own money, like, very easily. You can just wake up more money and say, okay, I want to create Bulu coin, right? You can do something. So crypto exchanges like Patricia, they do these things where they launch their own token. They call it native tokens because it's for their exchange, right? So Binance has BNB, Quidax has QDX, Bondu before they shut down at BDX. All right. So Patricia too now wants to do something like that. So the reason why exchanges launch their own token is because, okay, you know, when you have like your own money that you can control, you can use it for whatever you want. So if I create my money, I can print, let's just use normal fiat knowledge, I can say, okay, let me print 17 trillion, right? And then I can now use it as incentive. I can decide to, let me give it out to people, incentive for them to like trade, maybe we want to do giveaways and stuff like that. Right. So those are some of the reasons, right? There are also more complex reasons, but we're not going to that. So those are some of the reasons why exchanges launched their own token. So the reason why people were not happy with Patricia making the announcement was very simple, right? People have not been able to get access to their money since April, since the whole hack thing happened, right? And now that you now want to give us, maybe they are not giving access, but now that you want to give us, you update us about what's going on, you're now telling us you are converting it to your token that you suddenly created. Okay, there's nothing wrong with creating tokens, right? But there were some unanswered questions. It was very abrupt. They didn't really give us much information about PTK. Okay, so when people launch tokens, right, and they want you to invest in that token or use those tokens, right, for me to, if Tim doesn't create his own money now, if he wants me to use it, I need to know that there's some value, that money actually has value. Right, if it does not have value, why should I hold it? What do I even need it for? Right, so Patricia did not tell us, okay, they told us it's a stable coin, that means $1 to one PTK. But how are we sure that it is like that? Some things you look at is, okay, let's look at what blockchain did you launch it on, because that's to be on a blockchain, right? I did not find it on any blockchain, that's one.
In the pipeline.
Two is it on aggregators? So aggregators are like CoinMarketCap, CoinGecko, where if you need information on a particular token, you see it there. It was not there. What else? How do you prove to us that you can actually maintain a stable coin? Because stable coins, when you want to tell me that something is the same value as the dollar, it's not mouth used for it. You need a reserve, right? Because it's like saying, oh, this phone is $1. So you can use it like dollars anyway. But I need to, it's representing dollar that I've kept. Right? It's like a representative of that dollar. So I need to have kept dollar somewhere. Right? If I'm issuing 50,000 PTK, and I'm saying I should even have more than that. Normally, that's how I should have more than double that, right?
Because people might want to trade with it. And
what happens when people suddenly come and they say, okay, I want to change everything all at once? Liquidity problem starts happening. Another FTX saga. All right. Okay. So that's basically.
Well, that's really a comprehensive native token for dummies.
Yeah.
Yes, and thank you for explaining that. And I understand people's skepticism. Yeah, it's money we are talking about, mm-hmm. and with the fact that countries in the world are going through their own phases of inflation, mm-hmm. and economic crisis, there's little to nothing you can use to convince people to let go of their money, right? So yeah. we've reached out to Patricia, and we'll be giving you feedback about what the company has to say about all these unanswered questions.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm hoping not officially, mm-hmm. right? But unofficially, I got some information about what might be going on, what the true intentions are with the old Patricia thing. And someone told me that what they're actually doing is they are calling it the token has not been launched yet and will serve as an instrument for holding debt within Patricia's books. Right. So doesn't totally make sense.
I cannot put my money on an exchange. And you want to use my money to...
So what they're saying is...
Like, I can't have access to my money.
You know, what they're saying is, the token is not as if that's what we are giving you mm-hmm. back as your money. We just put it there mm-hmm. to know that, okay, Nifemi, we are owing you $50,000.
We have money, we will give you.
We use this thing to represent it when the money is not available. That is what I understand
like
by it.
Like a placeholder.
Exactly. But they said they will communicate with us to explain and... That's what I'm with you.
So we are looking forward to, because it's given the terrain of the startup terrain now and funding and all, right? It's as if we should be cutting startups and founders some slack. You get so
this one
we are extending the long rope.
By the way, there's update. Okay. They just made a tweet about 26 minutes ago.
That.
Explaining the token, and you can go on their website to read the white paper. But I'm not going to call them slack for the way this was announced, for obvious reasons. They first made a social media post before sending an email to customers. I don't know the reason why you would do that, because I'm your customer and my money is probably there, so why am I getting...
I think
I'm trying to get the exact time that they sent it. So, good. They made their own social media post around 3:28 and sent emails. At least I got mine 4:46. By then, there was already a lot of backlash on the internet. So, does it mean that if it had flown under the radar, you not have sent an email to your users? Is that what it means? Because there's really no other way for you to communicate with your users. Yes. It's just emails. So
I think we should, being the gatekeepers, I mean media, I think we should find a way to bring like a PR specialist to Tech Point Unscripted to come and like...
Explain
to undo stakeholder communication, because these are the people that is making your business run. So you have to treat them as important as they are, and communicate whenever something is not going well. And that is something we will work towards. We bring a PR specialist.
PR specialist. That was actually the first Tech Point Unscripted episode. So you guys can go watch it.
Yes.
We'll link to it in the
description.
Can even share it on social media.
Yes. Please. Communicate.
Maybe they did not see it the first time. Because
communication really matters.
Every time. And it's always about communication.
Yes.
Communication. It's either they do not communicate or they under-communicate or...
They didn't manage
it's always
communication
over or under. Sorry, under communicating or not communicating.
Over communicating is not a problem. Please.
Yeah, it's not. I was telling someone recently that a founder too, when Carbon had issues with withdrawals, it was a technical issue.
Like they wanted to finish you with communication.
Every single time you knew what was happening.
Aside from that, the CEO was even running correspondence on Twitter.
You know what was happening. But this one, you are announcing something on social media. What if I decided I'm taking a social media break as a customer.
Yeah, I have no access to the information.
When you announce it, you don't give the full
information. People want it's people's money, like what they work to get. But let's move on. I said I want to be optimistic today. And let's move on to another startup that is actually, in the real sense, making the Nigeria startup ecosystem proud. I don't know if you all agree with me. And Money Point is the name, right? And looking at their journey through the years up until now, I don't know if we found like something to stain the reputation they are building.
No.
Well, and they are expanding. I mean, Money Point is expanding to Kenya with the acquisition of a fintech startup. Yeah. So, Shugajin will tell us about it in a few seconds.
Okay. So, Money Point is getting into Kenya, and they are acquiring Kopo. I hope I pronounced that properly. Sure. But yes, KK, that's the name of the startup.
KPK. I'm so sorry. Kopo.
I have no hand in that. But yes, they've received regulatory approval from the competition authority of Kenya. So their job is basically to ensure that if an acquisition is going to take place, there's no threat of you're not killing the competition, basically, or you're not cannibalizing the industry. Yes. So considering Money Point size, I guess that makes sense. It's probably one of the largest, it's one of the largest fintechs in Nigeria. And getting into Kenya, that there could be fears that it could kill competition. So they've received regulatory approval. The acquisition is not yet complete. That will probably happen sometime. Like, it will probably be sometime later this year. But yes, this is their first major acquisition.
Expansion.
And expansion push as well. I mean, in the last, they haven't exactly announced this, but I think their global headquarters has moved to London. I start corrected, Sha, but they've moved their headquarters. They've been making a lot of moves to position themselves
and
as a global, as a global company, and points to maybe a potential IPO or something. But yes, by the way, they also launched they announced that they'll be getting into the personal banking space just last week. So I don't know if you covered it on the podcast. But they've been in the news for a lot of moves, either because of how much they're processing, the new products they're rolling out, or their acquisition. So this is, like you said, good news for the company. I don't know about the ecosystem, but shows that at least there are a few people who are winning.
It's good news for the ecosystem, in my opinion, because when there's like a funding drought, shutdowns, layoffs, and all, we are looking for something to hold on to, that the ecosystem is still thriving. And talking about holding on to something, this seems like the African tech ecosystem has not seen like a legit, I had to add that word, legit IPO in almost 2 years now, right? And Flutterwave is bringing promises, or it has been showing promises for some few months now. Like Flutterwave IPO now, you people want to do it? Don't you want to do it? What's going on? And yet, it's in the news again that the IPO plans is underway again. So, Jim Gozim, tell me we are right.
Or right not. About what?
That Flutterwave is on its way.
I do not. Okay, I want to choose my words carefully. But I do not believe that an IPO is happening anytime soon. Definitely not this year. And will there be an IPO sometime in the future? Possibly. Most likely. That would happen. How long will that take? I cannot tell you, because even the people that are in the company probably do not know when that will happen.
Yeah, it's good to hope.
Yeah, it's good to hope, but I find stories like this being recycled in the media a bit annoying. So last year we heard you'd be pushing for an IPO. This year we are hearing you'd be pushing for an IPO. So at some point I'm now asking myself, how long do you want to take? Of course, last year there were a lot of unsavory incidents surrounding Flutterwave, so that would definitely have been the wrongest time, if that's a word, to become or to go public. It would have affected their showing, and that was also a time when there was a VC decline. There was, in fact, basically the global economy was like experiencing some shocks, and that would have been probably a bad time, especially considering the they'll probably need to like maintain that unicorn status, maybe go beyond. Last time we heard, they were over 3 billion. They were worth over $3 billion. Yeah. So I don't know. An IPO would be great for the investors. Maybe for the company too, it would be great. So I mean, some people have said some people are trying to draw parallels with the Jumia IPO. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an entirely different scenario here. But really, I don't know. If you're going to IPO, just do it.
So, Bolu, do you think like there's anything going on with the company now that is actually signaling that the IPO is closer than it was last year?
Actually, I'd say no. Because, I mean, obviously, for me, I would say an IPO would definitely happen. Like Jingo Zirim said, I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I won't even use the word definitely, because I could get acquired.
I would say definitely, because
a win is a win. An exit is an exit.
Yeah, but that won't be an IPO anyway. So there's okay, always that me, option.
I mean, nobody knows tomorrow. Let me use that as a caveat. But then, judging by how... I'm going to judge by some people that participated in their last funding round. You know, they were like crossover investors, people who invest in startups just before the IPO. So that might be something that will make them push for an IPO faster. But for me, I think the most interesting thing is, you know, after this surface, a lot of people are saying we could be having another tech billionaire very soon. Like GB could become.
I hope the camera did not catch me rolling my eyes.
Yes, it was very interesting when I saw that. And I mean, not all the figures were... I mean, not to trust all the figures, but I think PitchBook said GB's current stake in Flutterwave is worth over $370 million. Mm. Right? And then someone said, oh, maybe he could become a billionaire in the event of an IPO. Yeah. But then... did some calculations and I was like, it's not going to become, it won't become a billionaire. So what I did was, I'll not bore you with all the mathematics, because even myself, while I was doing it, I slept like 3 times in the middle. But what happened was, I did something called I can't remember the name now, market capitalization calculation, right? So what you do is you try and find out how many outstanding shares, or you do a lot of assumptions, right? So currently the share price, according to notice.co, again, those numbers, if they are not coming directly from the company, especially when it's a private company, you really don't want to trust them too much. But mm-hmm. according to them, they said Flutterwave share price is $29 per share, right?
If it's IPO.
No, even now, like currently. Okay. It's $29.
That's not publicly traded.
Yes. So to now find the outstanding shares, it now means that we assume that the outstanding shares, you do some calculations with the share price, and then I discover that the outstanding shares is around $103 million. Mm-hmm. So when you take that figure, right, and then you assume that those outstanding shares remain the same, you can find out, or you can at least estimate
the possible value of their shares.
What Flutterwave's value will be after an IPO. So after mm-hmm. I did all that, I discovered that, okay, if the IPO goes well, like let's say it goes as well as Jumia, right? Because Jumia's share price increased by 31% after the IPO, right? So that means Flutterwave will be worth $3.9 billion after an IPO. So if that happens, that means GB stake, right, will now be, his stake currently is 12.33% of Flutterwave.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if you multiply 12.33% with 3.9 billion, mm-hmm. right, that's just $480 million. Right.
Be a billionaire in Naira.
There is already a billionaire in there, judging by if we want to trust speech books
numbers.
So even after the IPO, it just means it'll be about $100 million richer or something. So no billionaires yet.
I think the IPO should come first before we start discussing that. But you know, but press is, we need to get something sensational to talk about every now and then. And talking about sensational things, this one is not even sensational, it's the real thing, because every establishment, whether you're a startup, a corporate company, there's one particular stakeholder that makes it run, and that is the employees. And that is why those are some of the thoughts that was in our mind in Tech Points when we decided that we'll be holding the Modern Workplace Africa Conference on October 21st this year. And we want to talk about a lot of things around work, around employment, around remote work, around diversity and inclusion, around being being recruitment fit, talking about HR and every other thing. And I don't know if you've heard it, but we are hearing it again, that this is a good day to book your spot for that event. And also, if you have any product that would be useful to any company, because I believe every company has something to do with work. So if you have any product that works for companies, for employees, for employers, this is a good time to come and sponsor this event. And I'm really excitedly looking forward to it, because we have like lineup of speakers. You know, this is not the regular Tech Point Africa event, you know, so we are going out of our ways to bring people that will bless your life and will impart your life.
Amen.
You get it?
What?
Right. Yes. Yes. So we are bringing people that would
sound like
teach you.
I'm telling you. Sounded like crusade.
No, but you get what I'm saying. There are a lot of insightful content that we've prepared for that event, and I don't want you or your employer or your employee to miss out of it. So if you have to sponsor everybody on your team, it will be a good place to be on October 21st, 2023. So I'm hoping to see you there. And also, I'm using this opportunity to thank those that missed me. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm using this opportunity to thank all our listeners and people that watch us on YouTube, people that listen to us on our podcast platforms, those that watch us on Instagram, on TikTok. We have you in mind, and we appreciate you for always staying with us. Thank you very much. And we're also looking forward to your feedback. You can send your feedback to Onamai. Please give us the email where they can send their feedback to.
Podcast@techpoint.africa.
Yes, in case you didn't know yet, podcast@techpoint.africa.
Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For our listeners, where can they get it, Bolu?
Yes, you can always find us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Hiat Radio, or anywhere else you get your podcast.
Yes, once again, your feedback is welcome. And that will be it for today's edition episode of Tech Point African Podcast. You will see this face many more times. Those that didn't miss me, you will remember why you needed to miss me.
They will call it.
Yes. So bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.